is Econ 201, the principles of macroeconomics. And this is the first meeting. I'm not going to lecture today, but I'm going to give you an overview of how this course is organized. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the your course website. Now, there is a website outside of Blackport, and that is the New River address, which is nr.edu, and then /ECO201. Now, all this information is in Blackboard. I'm also going to go into Blackboard and show you how that's organized. But every Blackboard is linked to all these pages here on this website. So they're really one and the same. If you click on syllabus, here's the course syllabus. And this will explain the basics of the course. Now, this is called the Principles of Macroeconomics, and it's fully transferable to any four-year school as Principles of Economics credit. So if you're in a business curriculum especially, and you're going to need economics at the four-year school, you'll probably need, I'm sure you'll need Econ 201 and Econ 202. Econ 201 is macroeconomics, and Econ 202 is microeconomics. You will need those two before you take any advanced economics, which you will do if you're in the business curriculum. There are many majors at four-year schools that require the principles of economics, so this course is fully transferable. So you're in the right place if you plan to transfer. Now, the difference between macroeconomics and microeconomics is that macro means large in economics. And what we do here in macroeconomics is that we look at, it's like you were flying over the economy in an airplane, looking down and seeing how everything fits together. So in this course, we look at things like what causes unemployment, what are possible cures for unemployment. We look at money and banking, the Federal Reserve, interest rates, economic growth, international trade, so that's all part of macroeconomics. Now, microeconomics, micro meaning small, involves the decision-making process of economics. What is the thought process that individuals make when they make decisions to maximize their welfare, or how does a business make decisions to know how many units to produce to maximize their profit? So that's part of microeconomics. Anyway, if you look over this syllabus here, introduction, learning objectives, course content, grading, evaluation, it's going to give you everything that you saw. If you click on textbook, this is the picture of the textbook. If I just click on the textbook cover, the image, the book just opens up. And you see here you've got all this information here, acknowledgments and preface and all of that. But normally when you come into here, you'll click on brief contents, and then these are the chapters of the book. So like if you're on chapter 4, then you just click on chapter 4 like that, and then you get right to chapter 4. You want to go back to the top, you go control home, and that brings it to the top. All right? So many of you are already familiar with, online, books and things. I would really encourage you to use the online text. If you really prefer the printed book, we do sell it in the bookstore. The book online here is a much newer version. In fact, it's almost a year difference, which is a huge difference. The book online is a whole lot better than the printed book you can buy. So that was textbook. If you click on test dates, I'm just trying to take this in order. If you click on test dates, here you have 8 tests. You've got the dates for each. Now, these are suggested dates. There's really no penalty for taking the test beyond the test date, all right? But if you keep up with the material and you take tests by these test dates, then you'll probably do well in this course if you just stay with the program. The worst thing you can do is procrastinate and be caught by the end of the semester with a lot of tests to take. Very few students do well when they do that. So I would suggest that you just keep up with the material and take the test in it. But the way it works is that there's an introduction, which I'm going to cover Thursday, and then there's 12 chapters after that. So your first test is over the introduction in chapters 1 and 2. And it'll be a 50-question, multiple-choice, true-false test in Blackboard. And they are timed at 60 minutes, 1 hour. And every minute beyond 60 minutes, then I may take off 2 points from your score. Now, don't get too uptight about that. Tell you the truth, I'm really not stringent on that. Like if you're 2-3 minutes over, I'm not gonna penalize you. Actually, I don't think I penalized one student last semester. And I have a lot of students taking these tests. The whole point is that because these are online tests, and they're not proctored, you can take them from any computer. I advise you take it on a computer. I think it'll still work on an iPad or even your iPhone, but I don't think that's going to work too well. But anyway, what I can't have you do is, take 6-7 hours, to take a test, because that really wouldn't be measuring your knowledge. So anyway, they are timed at an hour, and in Blackboard, if you go over that hour, it'll tell me how many minutes over that hour it took. Anyway, what happens here is you've got a test on the introduction, chapters 1 and 2, and then a test on 3 and 4. Now, all the tests are 50 questions, multiple choice, true, false. All right, so you got a test on 3 and 4, a test on 5 and 6, and then the midterm is a combination of the first 7 chapters, because the introduction is really a chapter. And see, what happens is that when you have a test on the introduction in chapters 1 and 2, there's a test pool. And then 50 questions are randomly selected from that test pool. So each of you get a different test, all right? And then there's a test pool for chapters 3 and 4. And then there's another test pool, 250 or so questions for chapters 5 and 6. And then what I do for the midterm is I combine these test pools. So now you've got a very large test pool, and then 50 questions are randomly selected from that test pool, all right? And then you get chapter 7 and 8 test, 8 and 9 test, 11, 12 a test. And then the final exam, what I do is I take the test pools from the last 6, from the previous 6 tests. So it's the second half of the course. So again, you've got a very large test pool. And then 50 questions are randomly selected from that test pool. Now, what happens if you're taking the test and the internet messes up? I mean, that does happen, right? Anything can happen. Well, then what you got to do is you got to email me. And what I do is I go in to your test and I reset it so that you can retake it. Now, this is really the only downside to this online testing, because that does happen, although it doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. So just keep that in mind. Don't panic. I mean, if you're taking the test and, you know, the power goes out, you know, don't panic. It's very simple for me to reset your test. However, when you get back in to retake the test, it's going to be a different test. Because every time you take a test, again, you know, questions are randomly selected from a large test pool. The other downside to this program is, let's say you've answered 48 questions, and then something messes up. Well, the program doesn't let me open the test so that you've got your 48 answered questions. The only thing I can do is clear the test, and so unfortunately, you know, then you're going to have to retake the test with, you know, all 50 questions. You know, that's the downside. Of course, the upside is that you've got a great amount of flexibility, you know, in terms of taking tests. And now, for all you, you know, you're here at this lecture, but I've got at least twice as many, maybe three times as many students taking this online. You know, I've got a whole lot more students taking this course online that, you know, never come to the lectures. I've even had students, you know, take the course from foreign countries. You know, last semester I had a student from South Korea take the course. So this system works well because, you can take the test anywhere, anytime, as long as you've got the internet. So, any questions about that? Now, come on, don't be shy, and you know, not now is your time to ask questions.
Did you say how many questions were on the exam?
Yeah, they're all the exams, all the tests are 50 questions.
Even the midterm and the final.
They're all 50 questions. They're 2 points apiece. So you've got 8 tests, and so that would be 800 points. Okay. Now, let me explain something else.
Yeah, a question on the other side.
What? Oh yeah, over there in the mall. Yeah. Can you speak up? I have a hard time hearing you.
You're on Thursdays.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there on Thursday, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be there every Thursday. Yeah.
Can we print off these tests once we take them so we can study them?
Well, that's a good question. I got a question here, is that can you print off the test? No, you can't print off the test, but in Blackboard, you have a grade book where all your test scores are. And if you click on your test score, your test will open up for you. So you can go back and look at any of your previous tests, and you can see, you know, the questions and the correct answer and your answer. Okay? Okay, that's a good question. I don't think I would have mentioned that if you didn't ask. All right, now, what is... Normally, what percentage would be an A in most courses? 90%. Y'all agree with that? And the B would be like 80%. The C would be 70%. Now, you've got 8 tests, 100 points each. So, what is? Let's see. What am I doing here? Oh, 90%. What is 8 times 9? 72, correct? So, in other words, if you take these 8 tests and you score a 90 average, that would be 720 points, correct? Okay, so that's like a 10-point scale. Now, this is important. Your grade is not based on a percentage. Your grade is based on points. And there are other ways to earn points. Okay? One other way is that there's a Wall Street Journal group that if you, this is explained, you know, on the website, but if you join this Wall Street Journal group, what you do is that you, through the semester, you simply read articles from the Wall Street Journal and you write a summary in the discussion feature in Blackboard. I'll show you where how that works, but you go into Blackboard here. Let's see, I think I got it open. See, here's Blackboard, and if you go down here, Wall Street Journal, WSJ stands for Wall Street Journal, Extra Points Explanation. So you click on that, and of course this brings you back to the other website, but here is all the explanation of how the Wall Street Journal group works. Now, if you want to subscribe to the paper, you just click on this link. I hope it still works. I didn't test it. But you simply fill out this information, and you get it home delivered. This is amazing. You get it home delivered for $1 a week. For only $10, you get it mailed to you, and you also get the online version of the paper for $10. Now, that's a pretty good deal. But, you know, the next question might be, well, do I have to, you know, pay for the paper in order to join the group? And the answer is no. I mean, if you want to use the Wall Street Journal from the library, which, you know, we get the Wall Street Journal here, and most libraries get it, you know, you can do that. It's entirely up to you. But the way it works is that you can take any article that you want, and you can take several from the same newspaper if you want. Hopefully, you're going to use an article that, you know, piques your interest. But it can be any article, and you write a 120-word summary of that article, and you give a full citation of the article. You know, the date of the newspaper, the name of the article, the author of the article, and then what I do is I look at these almost daily, and let's say you do, you know, two summaries, and they're at least 120 words, then each summary is worth 2 points, and so there's a column in the grade book that says WSJ. So let's say you do two summaries, that's 4 points. So I go into the grade book and I put 4 points in that column, and those points then become a part of your total points. See, now your total points are just increased by 4. Now you can get as many as 40 points this way. All right? Now there's another way that you can earn 10 points, and I explain this here, if you go Wall Street Journal Summaries and Essay, this is where you would actually write your, you know, your summary. But here's a 10-point essay, and I have four topics here, three topics. I may add a fourth, but for now there's three topics: the Cloward-Piven strategy, the Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act, and The Rule of Nobody, a book by Philip Howard. And for these, what you do is that you watch videos on YouTube. Okay? At least one video, preferably two or three, on each of these on one of these topics, and then you give the citation, the URL for those videos. And you write a 500-word summary of what you learned from watching these videos. And then that's 10 points. Okay, so let's say you take these tests and you get an 80-some, don't know what the number is, but, you know, an 82, 83 average. But you did your, you know, but you got 50 extra points with the Wall Street Journal group, 40 with the Wall Street Journal group and 10 with this 10-point essay. That's 50 points. Well, that added to your total, And that, you know, may very well put you into the higher, you know, higher grade. Okay, now, again, hopefully as we go through the semester, you're going to gain an interest in what we're doing. And this, both this essay, these essays, these are very interesting topics and relevant. And reading the Wall Street Journal is could be a life-changing experience, especially as we go through the semester and talk about, you know, what's happening in the world economically. So hopefully, you know, you'll do it because you're simply interested in it. But the deadline for these extra points is 2 days after the final exam. So I've had some students, they take all 8 tests and, they're short, you know, maybe 6 points for a higher grade. Well, I give you that, you know, extra day or two, a couple days, so you can get these extra points to get you into the higher category. All right? So any questions about that? All right. So that's how your grade is determined. So it's on points. I know I'm going to have lots of questions throughout the semester on this, but it's, to me, it's very simple. There's a grade scale here. If we go back, where are we? See, here's the grade scale. 720 points A, 640 B, 560 C, and at least 480 points for a D. So your grade is based on points, period. It's very simple. And it's simple for me because at the end of the semester in Blackboard, I just click on that total column and it gives me from the highest number of points down to the lowest number of points. So I just have to go A, until I get to 720, and then I go B, until I get, down to 640, and I very rarely make a mistake. I'm mistake prone, so even I can make mistakes, but that's probably the simplest way to determine grades that I can think of. But anyway, that's the way it works. Okay, over there at the mall, any questions? You got to speak up over there at the mall. I mean, the distance group, anyway. Of course, it's just natural for me to, look at the group that I'm present with more than the distance group. But I try to do both. Okay.
I've got a question over here.
Yeah.
How many times?
How many times can you what?
Write the essay.
Oh, it's only once. You look over these topics and you pick the one that you are most interested in, and you can only do the one.
So.
Yeah.
Are the tests solely based on the textbook, or is there extra things that are going to be revealed in the lecture that we're going to have a lot of questions based on the tests as well?
That's a good question. As far as I know, the questions are from the textbook. Now, let me tell you this. The purpose of the textbook is to give you the details. The purpose of my lectures is to give you an overview. So I try not to be detailed in my lectures, but what I try to do in my lectures is give you, it's like you're flying over the economy in an airplane and you're looking down and you're trying to see how everything fits together. So I try to show you, that this is how A relates to B and B relates to C and on like that. So I'm always trying to emphasize the bigger picture, and that's why the lectures are important. Okay, but the details are in the textbook. And now I have some practice quizzes, which I'll show you. Let's see. Now we got to, but let me take this in turn. But I do have learning materials that will give you the practice. Okay. I'll show it to you in here in a few minutes, but I've got, there's about 50 multiple choice questions in PowerPoint. And when you look at the PowerPoint in slideshow mode, you'll see the question be like a multiple choice question. And then when you click enter, it'll not only give you the answer, but it'll give you a complete explanation of the answer. And these questions are very much like the real test. So what I'm saying here is that there's really three parts to this. The lecture gives you the overview, the textbook gives you the details, and then these practice quizzes give you the practice. And then once you do all three, the way to do best in here is to read the chapter before I lecture on it. Now, that's not to say you have to study it, but just read it over quickly so you get a basic idea of what's in the chapter. And then you attend the lecture, or you watch the video of the lecture, or you can do both. And then you read the chapter a second time, and then you go through these practice quizzes, and that prepares you for the test. Now, I don't know how in the world you could not do well in this course if you follow that program, all right? If you just follow this program, realizing, the difference between my lectures and the textbook, and you keep up with it in a timely fashion, you pay attention to these test dates, you read the chapter, go through the lecture, read the chapter, and oh, by the way, ask me questions, either in person here, during the lecture, or email. I'm very good at answering emails. And, ask me questions as you go along. Go through the practice quiz, and you do that for two chapters, and then you're ready to take a test on those two chapters. And there's no way that you can't do well in here if you follow the program. Now, this course is different in one way than probably most courses you've taken. Although you will have to learn some facts and definitions and things, but hopefully not a whole lot. Much of what we do involves common sense, logical thinking. See, you learn the tools, these principles. That's what we call this course, the principles of economics. Now, starting Thursday, I'm going to go through the introduction. What most of the introduction is just a highlight of many of these concepts and principles and key terms. And so what you do is you familiarize yourself, you get a working knowledge of these concepts. That's why we call this the principles of economics. Okay, because it stresses the principles. But then to really analyze how the world works, you use these concepts and you use your common sense thinking to reason through to a logical conclusion. Okay? So if you're a memorizer, then you may not do well in this course. Okay? Because it's not like history where you can just, memorize facts and then, do well on a test. Because you can memorize everything in a chapter, but that doesn't mean that you necessarily do well on the test because it takes logical thinking. In fact, there's a best-selling textbook on this course called The Principles of Macroeconomics, The Science of Common Sense. It really is. It's just really common sense. You gotta think about things and you gotta see how A relates to B and B relates to C, and it's a cause and effect, that sort of thing. If we increase the money supply more than we increase goods and services, for example, what's going to result? Well, you've got different things can happen, but you learn to think and logically. You can answer that question if you just think about it and logically go through the process. So that's pretty basic. I actually got ahead of myself. Here's questions and answers, by the way. Just some general questions I've gotten in the past. Study tips. That's just what I've just explained. You know, overview, details, practice, working knowledge. You know, you should read this. Be sure to have a strong working knowledge of the vocabulary, understand the principles, the concepts, use logic to work through to the correct answers. Read the textbook, watch, listen. So, you know, this explains really what I've been talking about here in terms of the study tips. You can click on this link and go to Blackboard. And Econ Home, see, takes you to the... I teach four different courses. I've got 8 different sections I teach, but 4 different courses. And these are the 4 courses. If you click on any one of these, it, you know, brings you to that course. So if you click on Econ 201 here at the beginning, that brings it back to the main site. Lecture videos. Here are all my videos that I did last semester. And what I'm going to do is one thing I'm working on is putting all these videos on YouTube with captions. There's a deaf student taking this course, and she really needs, she could be if my lectures were captioned, that would help her so she can read it. So I'm in the process of doing that. I've got the first, three or four done, but that's just a project I'm working on. So all these videos will be in YouTube. Now what I do is like this first day, if you click on this first day, that'll bring you to the video for the first day. Well, I'll replace this video with the one that I'm doing right now. And then as I go into, chapter one, or let's say the introduction, I'll replace this one with, the present one. So as I go along, I replace the videos from the previous semester with the present semester. Okay, but these videos, I mean, there's some things that change, you could watch these videos and do, quite well in the course, just as they are. And so let's go back to the main page here. And these are the lecture videos. Lecture audio, I also do audio. See, I'm recording this on this MP3 player, and then I put these audios of my lectures, so you can download these.
I have a question.
Yeah.
These videos, is each one of them like one class period?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. Yeah, see, if you go, there's always like chapter one is part one and part two. I always take a week to cover a chapter. Now, sometime I may, not quite finish, and I'll pick it up at the next lecture. But normally we cover a chapter a week. So after 2 weeks, then if you look at the dates, it kind of works out that way. In fact, once you get the first test, you'll notice that these dates are 2 weeks apart. And because this course is designed around online students, the breaks and all don't really figure into this. Okay. Okay, and I see I had a student leave over there. And that does remind me of something else. If you have to leave early from a lecture, I just appreciate it if you let me know that you have to leave early. It's just a courtesy thing, all right? I know you all got scheduling situations and things come up, when you come into the course, if you have to leave early, just say, hey, I got to leave early, and then I know that, it's not something, that I said or, or I was so boring that you just had to leave. Anyway, I'd appreciate that if you just let me know. Okay, so these are the audio lectures. Going back here, these are the lecture PowerPoints. Now here, what I do is when I lecture, I use PowerPoints to kind of give my thought. They're really more for me than for you. It keeps me on track. They're kind of like an outline. And so I try to keep on track, so you know my lectures hopefully have some logic to them. But all these PowerPoint slides, you can download from this page. And practice quizzes. See here you've got these practice quizzes. Like for example, I'll just open up this one. I'll open up in a new tab. Which tab is it?
It came up down below.
Down below? Oh, okay, thanks. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this in slideshow mode. I'll say from beginning. Now see what happens here? Here's a question. And when I click or press enter, here's the explanation of the question. See, here's a question. Here's an explanation. You see that? And you have about 50 of these per chapter. Now, the advantage of doing it this way in the slideshow mode is that you see the question before you see the answer. Because if you don't do it in slideshow mode and you see the question and the answer at the same time, you kind of slip into memorization. But the best way to use these tutorials, these practice quizzes, is to read the question and take your time with it, to think about it. Now, take it seriously, think about it, and then when you press enter, then you get the explanation. And if you do it that way, then these become a powerful learning tool. Okay? Any questions about these? Okay. Now remember, you'd read the chapter, go through the lecture, read the chapter, and then go through these practice quizzes, like I'm showing you here. And you have these, for each chapter. And there's many as 50 per chapter, so there's lots of questions here. And they're very similar to the real tests. Okay? So if you go escape, they'll take you out of here. Oh, okay. Can you hear me now? You can't? You should. You can't hear me? Now, you can hear me now? Okay, now that brings up another thing. I've got this mic here. And it's right in front of me, and my arms, my hands are on this table, and sometime I'll touch it, not on purpose, and then all of a sudden you can't hear me. So if you're at the distant site, don't be shy, just like they weren't shy. Hey, raise your hand. We can't hear you. That's one of the downsides to this whole system, too. But that's just the way it is. So, don't be shy. And also, another thing is, if I don't keep this microphone right in front of me, like if it's over here somewhere, you don't hear me too good, right? So, see, I gotta think about these things. Teaching used to be simple. You come in, you write on the blackboard and you lecture, but it's not that way anymore. Okay, so these are the practice quizzes, and these are internet videos. So you have internet videos. A lot of them are from YouTube that are related to each chapter. And as we get going on this, what I normally do is that I'll... I usually find something interesting in the morning Wall Street. I read the Wall Street every day. I get up about 5:30 every day, and the Wall Street is delivered to my house about that time, and I you know, drink a cup of coffee, and I read the Wall Street. I mean, that's what gets me out of bed. And so, you know, what I'll do is if there's something that really piques my interest, I'll bring it in and I'll read it to you. Because, you see, the whole purpose of this course is that you understand the world around you. And a lot of these events, especially this semester, you know, between now and June, we're going to experience some pretty major events economically. And these events affect your life, even though you're not aware of them, you know, beforehand. Or things are going to happen that's going to affect, you know, everyone's life. And so the whole point of this course is that you have an understanding of the world around you. So what I do is I bring in the Wall Street, and I'll just, you know, read an article, and for maybe 5 minutes I'll discuss it, and you might ask some questions, which is, I really encourage. I mean, this is your chance to, I mean, if you want to know what's happening in the world economically, now is your chance. Because, I mean, that's my life. That's just, you know, I'm consumed by it. So, the more questions I get from you, the better this is going to be. So anyway, what I do is I'll read from the Wall Street, and then I'll discuss it a bit. And then I normally show maybe a 5 or 10 minute video. Now, the videos are all over the place. They could be humorous, they could be serious, they could be, some videos are just, you know, I've got one great video. This is a rap song that's really great about the economy. I do that at the very end. There's skits, there's plays. I mean, there's all kinds of videos that I use. So that's what I do, and then I lecture. So you don't have to hear me lecture for the whole hour and a half, you know. And I think that helps, and it makes it more interesting, and I think it's a good learning tool. So anyway, these are some of the videos, and I may bring in more, and I do change these from time to time, try to keep them current and improve on them. But I've got another link here called Econ Teaching Videos, and if you click on that, this brings you to this web page. Now, this is just something extra, but this is a whole course online on the principles of macroeconomics. And if you, click on any one of these, you know, if you want, you know, like if we're studying absolute and comparative advantage and you want more information on it, you just click on it or the law of demand in supply. So I'll click on that and see, you get a video. I mean, this is really cool. Well, it may take a while to load, but anyway, it's still loading. But this, you know, could be helpful to you. I'll get on that. Anyway, that's internet videos, just extra. So this is the... let's see. This is your website. Test dates, grade. This is the grade book. This is where you would go to see your own grades. See, if I click on this, nothing happens. But if you click on it, you know, your grades will open up. The syllabus, study tips, assignments. My office hours, by the way, are right here. Click on faculty. It gives you my office hours. The only sections I lecture to is this one. Okay, I teach 8 sections, but I only lecture to 2 of them. So that tells you how much online teaching I do. Anyway, this gives you my... I'm here most of the day on Tuesday, and then I'm at the mall the other 4 days. So my office hours are at the mall Tuesday through Friday, and I'm only here on, what did I say? No, I'm at the mall Monday and then Wednesday through Friday, and I'm only here 1 day a week in Dublin. Okay? Okay, well, I think I just about covered it. I mean, y'all get a better idea now of how this course is organized? Yeah, question?
So we can take our test at any time?
Yeah.
We could theoretically wait until the final exam?
Yeah, you could. I don't recommend that, but you could.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you said you take attendance, but are there any penalties for, like, a certain amount of days you miss?
Oh, that's a good question. I got a question here about attendance. The attendance is really out of my hands. It's strictly school policy. I'm required to take attendance. If it were up to me, I wouldn't even take attendance. But I'm required to, and I'm required to report on your attendance. I'm so glad you asked that, because there is an important point that I missed. You all are in these lecture sections, and I do take attendance the way I explain. But, you know, because most of my students are online, you know, don't attend lectures, I have to have some way of keeping attendance, so to speak. So I have a rule that applies to you also, and that is that you've got to log into Blackboard at least once every 10 days, or you may be withdrawn from the course. All right? Now, that's true for you as well as, you know, my online students. Because, see, I have I have four sections of 201, but you're all in the same Blackboard. Okay, so, you know, I treat you all the same. You know, there's no difference between this section and the online section, except that you all have chosen to attend the live lectures. And that's the only difference. So what happens that, you know, when you log into Blackboard, there's a date and time stamp. So I can go into Blackboard and I know it's very simple for me to see, you know, the day and the time that you logged in. And so that is proof, you know, when you log in, that is proof of your activity in the course. And that's what the powers that be need to know. You know, is the student actively involved in the course? And so if you, you know, now when you log in, you don't have to take a test or a quiz or anything like that. You could actually log in and log right back out. All I need is that timestamp to say, hey, look, on this date, you were active in the course. Okay? You see, the whole thing here is, if you're on student aid, and I don't know which ones of you are, but a lot of you are in student aid, and you take a course, and you fail the course, and we can't prove that your failure was a result of academics, then the school has to pay back the federal government all the money they paid you. Do you understand that? That's why attendance is important. It's a dollars and cents thing. So that's why this is, the whole thing is so important about the attendance. It's all the federal government. Okay, it's not me. It's not the school. It's not the, you know, Virginia Community College system. It's all the federal government. Because the federal government has taken over student loans, almost 100%, and they want to make sure that they're getting their money's worth. But the pressure in terms of proving to them that they're getting their money's worth is on the institution and not the student. Y'all with me on this? So if you just log into Blackboard, then that says, oh, well, you know, you were active, so if you were to fail, can I prove that you were you know, that it was for academic reasons and not for attendance reasons. Well, yes, I could. You know, if I can prove that you've been regularly attending the course or regularly you were actually participating in the course, you see, then I can say, oh, well, this student was actively participating, and so the failure was for academic reasons. And if then the federal government says, oh, well, that's okay. You know, this is important for you to understand. Okay? And now, if you, anyway, all you got to do is log into Blackboard. That's all you got to do to, you know, really not get into trouble. It's not taking the tests. You can put off taking the test to the very end if you want, but you do have to log into Blackboard. Now, for you all, you know, I also have to take, I have to show that you were attending the lecture. And that's why, you know, you all are going to have to think, you know, between now and, you know, hopefully Thursday, you know, do you want to stay in this section or do you want to, you know, switch to an online section? Okay. That's up to you. Anyway, it's a very simple thing to do if you did want to, you know, switch sections. You know, you just go to where you originally registered for the course, and there's a button there that just says switch sections, and you just click on it, and you just switch into either, well, you'd have to switch into section 36. These courses are, my online sections right now are capped at 60 students, and I've already got 60 in the 201-35, and I've got 40-some in the 201-36. So there's still some room in the 36 section. See, I've got so many students that we had to split the online section into two. All right. So I'm glad that came up. That was an important thing to cover. So what are y'all going to do for next time? Read the introduction, okay? Now, for the introduction, by the way, the online book has got a lot more in it than the printed book that you have. And what I'm going to do Thursday is actually, instead of using PowerPoints, I think I'm just going to use the online textbook. And I'm going to go through these terms and just explain to you, you know, what they are and why they're important. Because, you see, economics is like a foreign language. And in order to speak it, you've got to know the vocabulary. So what I decided to do is give you, you know, a lot of the basic vocabulary and the concepts right at the beginning. Because all the way through the course, we use, you know, these principles in order to try to understand how the world works. Okay? And another thing I guess I'll mention now is that if you notice, the name of this textbook is Macroeconomics, Austrians versus Keynesians. Now, there are two different viewpoints in terms of economics. There's the Austrian view and there's the Keynesian view. And so all through this book and all through this course, you know, we're going to look at all kinds of different situations, but what I try to do is say, well, you know, this is the way an Austrian would look at it, and this is the way a Keynesian would look at it. And so this gives you you know, the two different viewpoints. And you can do that for just about everything because there's a world of difference between these two thought processes, you know, the Austrian view and the Keynesian view. But you'll learn more about that, you know, starting next time. Okay, so I've kind of run out of things to say here. Anybody over there at the mall got any questions? I must have done a good job, huh? Okay. All right. Well, you think about what I said, and I'll see you all at the mall in person there on Thursday. And you all here will see me on this big screen up the front of the room. So I'll see you all Thursday. Yeah, just a second. Let me...